Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this just horrible Friday morning as we broadcast from Borgata. I just can't believe it. And we're going to talk about it all today. Obviously, it was it's an all-time devastating night in Philadelphia sports last night. The Eagles are a chump change topic in the midst of what otherwise would be a concerning game. But the Philly season came to a crashing end. And we're all obviously devastated, as I know you are as well. We'll talk about it with you today, great length. The whole thing, every element of it, and the phone lines are right there for you to get it off your chest. Let us know how you're feeling and what you're thinking at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, John.
Dogs have significantly fewer taste buds than humans. All have 9,000 dogs.
Let's just end it there.
Yep, don't care. Don't care.
So, we have that.
Listen, it's an all-time devastating season-ending loss. It's an all-time season-ending devastating loss. You know, this one really hurts me, and I know you as well, all of us. This one hurts me a lot more than most I've seen in my life. It's very high up there. It's not Joe Carter. It's not Rondé Barber, but it's probably in my top five all-time. You know, Orion Kerkorian, obviously it's an all-time bad moment in the history of Philly sports. We'll always remember it. It was a total panic job. But it's actually not top of mind for me. Top of mind for me are the bats and the primary hitters and the tremendous letdown that Trey Schwarber and Bryce were in this playoff. 1-for-14 last night. Look, they flat out did not hit. Flat out did not hit in three of the four games in the series. And obviously those are the three games the Phillies lost. The whole season, I felt the whole season like the Phillies were one or two hitters short. Too oftentimes, then they got Bader, and then it felt to me like one short. And that was the primary reason why I couldn't bring myself, other than in April when I initially said it, once the season kind of got going, I could never bring myself to say that I thought the Phillies were a great team. I thought they were a hitter or two short. And the shame of it, of course, is the Phillies blew one of the top two starting pitching rotations in franchise history. You know, even without Wheeler, the starting pitchers were absolutely World Series ready. They were World Series winning ready. I mean, these starting pitchers were incredible. But the hitters and key aspects of the bullpen were not. You know, we want to hear from you, 215-592-9494. What's sitting on your heart, rattling through your brain? I'll say this, the Rob Thompson thing, my early instinct is to bring him back. But I got to think more through that. I'm not all the way there yet. My early instinct is to bring him back because I think the hitters let him and all of us down a lot more than Topper let the squad and us down. But he made mistakes, and it's to be evaluated, and I'm sure many people, maybe most, will say get rid of him. But, you know, for me, the main thing is the hitters. They didn't do their job.
The hitters, how those top three, the yeah. top four, yeah. you know, the blamed, the ones that we focused our ire on, you know, the big stars, the ones who are paid $400 million, why doesn't it matter as much? Like, I'm gonna base this off of Harrison Bader's chance yesterday,
okay.
when he didn't get a hit, but he took 10 swings. You know, like he was at the plate for 10 pitches. I should say, it mattered to him. That much.
I don't think
this
was a matter issue.
I totally don't think that's fair.
Yeah, come on.
I don't. They didn't go through.
Your question is whether they cared. Of course they cared, but why can't the approach be that why can't the approach be to use up these pitchers like we did in the game that we won?
Well, I think their approach last night was faulty.
And why was the approach so faulty, so fluctuating? Why was it so clear to us while watching what we needed to do, yet not as clear to Bryce as he's swinging for the fences on the first
Bryce
pitch?
Bryce killed him.
Night after night.
Bryce killed him. We'll take your reaction on the whole thing. I mean, you know, we're going to do the breakdown thing of it all, but for me, the emotional edge is my main. Like, obviously, I'm angry, but I'm more sad. I really have enjoyed this era of Phillies baseball, but, you know, to know that for the second consecutive year they've gone out with a whimper where they only win one playoff game when an otherwise could have been a World Series winning squad. James, what are you thinking right now?
I'm in a very different spot than you guys. I agree with your point. I'm much more sad than angry, but, like, the Dodgers are great. Like, capital G, great baseball team. The Phillies lost Harrison Bader in game one of this series. Like, they battled, man. Like, I'm annoyed with the top three of the lineup. I think that when people's ire should be there, and, you know, like, it's just such a shame that it ended the way it did. And I know, like, I feel both angry that it happened at Orion Kirkring, and I feel so sad for that kid who's 24, 25 years old, and I know the hell that he is going through and about to go through. And I'm angry about it, but I'm so sad. I thought that was an all-time great playoff game until it ended, man. Like, that is as
it was.
As locked in from pitch to moment for 3.5 hours or whatever it was that I have been in as long as I remember, Joe. Like, so, man, they fought back in game two and they lost and there were bad decisions and bad moments. They fought back and won in game three and kicked butt in it. That was the only game where one team dominated. This whole series was game three. They lost a brutal, tough game, and the bats came up small, and we'll get to that. I'll get to that. But I feel much more proud of how they fought, especially the pitching staff, like Lizardo. Like, I freaking love that guy. Sanchez, Ranger, Nola, like all the guys who battled. Like, I feel much more sad that this whole thing ended the way it did yesterday. Like, Orion's boner, like Merkel's boner 115 years ago, like, that will be a thing forever in the history of this city. Like, to your point, Joe, I do agree. I think 1 through 3 get more blame than Orion Kirkring. But in 50 years, people are going to remember Orion's boner. Yeah. Like,
no,
that is going to be the thing from this series that will last forever. And it is absolutely devastating that this team that I fell back in love with, that won me back over, that
which, by the way, James, I'm still in love with.
Exactly, dude.
I love this team, man.
And I'm proud of the way they fought, even if I'm disappointed in certain players on this team. I'm proud of how they fought. So I wake up tomorrow, I'm angry it happened, but I am so much more sad about all of it than anything else.
Rhea, what are you thinking right now? What are you feeling?
Proud is not in my vocabulary this morning. I will never unsee in my life JT Realmuto signaling to first and seeing that ball sail past him. Yeah. Never in my life. I mean, we've had devastating losses in playoffs. You mentioned Joe Carter. Those were guys on the other team delivering a blow. This was a mental error at the worst possible moment. And James will tell you, I never wanted Orion in that game. I was texting.
Which, like, I agree with, by the way.
Like,
where is David Robertson? Did he die in between the last series and this game? What happened to him?
You know, but I'm not blaming this on Thompson. You know, the hitters, they're a disgrace. They're a flat-out disgrace. Brandon Marsh should not have been batting fifth.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was a black hole. But the other guys, now, I mean, the pitching staff, Duran can't walk in a batter. I mean, that was just brutal. But no, I'm not in love with this team like you guys. Not in any way, shape, or form.
So, look, emotions and analysis are going to be all over the map. And this is one of the reasons, you know, WIP for now close to 40 years has served throughout Philadelphia and the region as a spot for you to come to and let us know how you feel. And this is one of those, you know, days where we're all in it together. So we'll field your phone calls all through the show at 215-592-9494.
And by the way, the Eagles just thought they could show up last night and win an NFL game.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works.
Here's my biggest takeaway from the Eagles. I'll just say this because we'll dabble in the Eagles, but it'll be pretty light. My biggest takeaway is they might miss the playoffs.
Things are bad with the Eagles. I think that is the takeaway.
Things are bad. I mean, they got a lot of injuries that are really piling up. Obviously, depletion from last year, losing a lot of players, and just all sorts of inefficiency all over the place. So if you missed it, just know you should be happy you missed the Eagles game because the second half was a disaster. And the Eagles once again got outgained, and they got seriously outplayed. And so, look, the Eagles thing's on the table, 215-592-9494. James, let's play the audio of the Kirk Green thing. I mean, it's going to be an infamy moment in the history of Philly sports. Very, very high on the list.
I mean, up there in the history of just baseball, man. I mentioned Merkel's boner, Joe. We grew up with that. The Ken Burns documentary, 1908 was Merkel's boner, and that was something that lasted forever as the ultimate example of a baseball player, like, fritzing out in the moment.
Listen, Kirk Green,
one of those, man. Buckner, the ball went through his legs. To Rhea's point, Joe Carter hit a baseball out of a ballpark. Yeah. This is a guy losing his mind for a moment and a team season ending because of it. It is so rare, Joe.
Look, he panicked, to say the least. And one of the things in baseball, I mean, when I played, that was always critical when you're in the field is just you got to know before the pitch, at least before the at-bat, where do you go if the ball comes
Joe,
to you?
Joe, it's the first thing my dad taught me.
Right, James? If it goes to your right, if it goes to your left, if it comes right at you. And one of the biggest keys, obviously, when there's two outs, you know, forcing any base, but simple math tells you the guy at home has to go 90 feet.
And he's running on contact.
The guy, right. The guy at third already has about a 15-foot lead, secondary lead. He's really freaking fast. He's going on contact. Like, it is not even close.
He's in a running stance. The other guy's swinging a bat. He has to let go of the bat and run. Like, it's
not even close. It's not even. James, let's listen to it. It is the agony of defeat. Let's listen to how it ended.
Swing at a broken bat. Comebacker. Kirkring knocks it down. Picks it up. Throws wildly home to the backstop. And the season is over. The Dodgers rushing out past Orion Kirkring, who stands with his hands on his knees bent over. And Kirkring, who had an easy out at first base, but he threw wildly to the plate all the way to the backstop. And the Phillies season has come to an end.
He totally lost his brain.
You can hear that call, Joe. You can listen the next time we play. You hear Fransky like stop for a second. He doesn't even know what to say.
We all were. I mean, everybody was like, "What the freaking hell, man? Like, just throw the ball to first." This one really hurts, man. A lot. Oh my God. So this feels like a funeral.
I know.
This segment right now on WIP presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're going to be very heavy on the phone line today. So let's go right now. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to what went down. Jeff in Phoenixville kicks us off. Jeff, good morning.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin. Good morning, everyone. That's not a good morning, but, you know, just to try to get the pleasantries out of the way. Rhea, thank you for pointing out something that was I was screaming at all last night. Why is Brandon Marsh batting fifth?
It was a black hole. It was brutal.
Well, awful.
Jeff, I told you before the playoffs, that was one of my biggest worries, and he killed him.
He had a disastrous series.
It was horrible.
Defensively, too. Bader put him into a bad spot. The injury did.
But Jeff, I will say this one thing in Rob Thompson's defense. It's not like he had a ton of guys to go to. You don't want to see Stott up there. You don't want to see Casty up there. You really don't want to see Kepler up there. I mean, like, that's why when I say I felt they were a batter or two light all year, that's what I meant.
Well, I'm going to take this in a totally different direction in regards to futuristic looking outlook. What do we have to look forward to? And I'll say it this way. the Eagles are broken. They're completely broken. Petullo needs to go because he's holding everything back, and I don't know what else is. I mean, there's something going on in there, and it's. I think you're right, Joe. I think I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. The Phillies, that team, I think, needs to be broken up a little bit because do you bring Schwarber back? Do you bring some of the other guys back? I don't know. The Flyers, we have nothing to look forward to there. And the Sixers, god awful, because we don't even know if anybody's even going to play because they didn't want to tell us anything. So what as a Philadelphia sports fan do we have to look forward to right now?
Well, the Phillies will still be – listen, Jeff, the Phillies will still be good. Okay, let's just start with that. And the Eagles certainly have a legit chance to get this back on track, but right now they're a mess.
And I don't think era of Eagles football is over because they lost it Thursday night on against the Giants.
I'm not saying
overreaction.
I'm not saying the era is over, but it's just like there's nothing – positive to look forward
immediately
to right now.
There's nothing positive.
Listen, hold on, James. Hang on a second. Jeff, I disagree with you on that, but obviously it's bleaker than it had been. I mean, I hear your point. I understand your point. I appreciate the call. I mean, just on a quick Eagles point, I did an accounting from who played in Super Bowl 59 to who did not play last night. And some of these guys aren't ever going to play again, and some of these guys aren't going to play for another month. I mean, consider the talent the Eagles had in Super Bowl 59, and no, these guys weren't there last night. Jalen Carter, now that's short term. Okay, Quinyon Mitchell, hamstring, I mean, sometimes that's a month, so we'll say he played in the first quarter, had to come out. Nolan Smith's out at least a month. Landon Dickerson, it's obviously going to take time. I don't think it'll surprise anyone if that's about a month. Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, Isaiah Rogers, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Mekhi Becton. They lost a ton. I mean,
not even talking like Kenny Gainwell and like the other like.
Correct.
Pieces.
I'll add Kenny Gainwell. You're right, James.
Slay
Kenny
and Gainwell. Rogers, one of them should have still been here.
Rogers
for the money.
Has been a stud for Minnesota so far. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, they lost
really
a freaking ton. Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, everybody. Boy, just what an awful feeling. You know, it's just such disappointment and, you know, a freaking ground ball back to the pitcher.
Yeah,
and Kirkring wasn't my choice either, and I don't know who said it. Where did Robertson go? Why do you get a guy like that?
Patrick. I'll just say this: it's pretty clear that Rob Thompson lost faith in Robertson.
Yeah, well, he sure did, and you know, it's just so obviously the disappointment. But you know, again, 162 games, and you just it's not you know again this isn't how you're supposed to lose a ball game. It's just the mental. You know, when the game finds you, and I feel bad for Kirkering, but you know who I got a target on is Bryce Harper, and he it's just you know again our hits and you know we all know it was my fear and all our fears and you know it's just a huge disappointment.
He might not have it anymore. Like it just might be that Bryce Harper is never going to be the guy again. Probably.
He will not be the MVP type guy
ever.
Again. And you know, I was saying that in the middle of the year. That to me was obvious. But
he might not be able to elevate the way he used to, for the biggest moments anymore.
He really stunk this postseason.
Yeah, it's a shame because it's just like you know, where was he in the moments? And you know, listen, I'm not gonna, I can't completely rip the guy. I do credit him for, you know, getting me back into the love of the game I grew up with. You know, honestly, so. You just hear the disappointment in everyone, and you know what? You got to shake it off, I guess. And for me, it's like with the Eagles. Like, you kidding me now? And I got to hang. I'm not ripping the Flyers yet, but that's the only hat I have in my head right now where I can hang it.
Patrick, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Because I honestly don't know this answer, and I'm ashamed about it, but I'm going to be honest. Did the Flyers win or lose last?
They lost.
They lost. 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, and listen, they opened the season.
It was 2-1, yeah.
And by the way, can we get an opening game at home for the Flyers?
Yeah,
for once in my freaking lifetime here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I do know
it's awful.
You mean.
They you know. But listen, it's just we're not gonna. I don't know where we go with this team, man. But there's. You got to break it up. You got to do something.
You got to tinker, and it's more. I'll put it this way, and Patrick, good hearing from you always. It's more than tinker. But it's less than break it up.
I agree with you.
You don't break it up. I mean, the reality is they had the second best record in baseball. They did go toe-to-toe with James's point, with perhaps the best team in baseball. So, you know, this is not a scenario where it's a break it up. Okay.
I mean, if Harrison Bader doesn't get hurt, they might have won that series.
Yeah, no,
like, let's be honest.
One of the really tricky things, and I don't really ever remember anything in Philly sports like this. I don't know what the hell's going to happen with Ranger, but I tend to think this. He ain't going to be here. I don't know. I mean, it's like unless you want to trade Andrew Painter.
Which they won't.
Which they will not do and probably should not do. I don't know where there's room for the guy. I mean, the bottom line is you have Wheeler, but you don't have Wheeler. But you know, when I say don't have him, that's the question mark, right?
Idea. You have no idea whether he can come back or if he wants to pitch next year. Hang on one second, James.
Hang on one second. So Wheeler, like, you have to have a spot for him because he could pitch. Nola has a no-trade clause, so he ain't going anywhere. Lazard is under contract for one more year. Painter, obviously, is going to be here soon, whether it's April 1st or soon thereafter. He's going to be here. And who am I forgetting right now?
Lizardo, did you say?
I thought I said Lizardo.
There's Sanchez.
Oh, and Sanchez. And Sanchez. So, like, I don't – I mean, I just feel like we just saw the end of Ranger Suarez. And, John, that hurts, man, because this guy's a freaking stud.
Yeah, he was a monster. First pitch aside, once again, he came through for us just like it was nothing.
He always does.
Just, yeah, like it's breathing. But he will be far too expensive if we're going to be keeping these other big name hoppers around.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, theoretically, you could trade Lizardo. You could. I mean, let me put it this way. One of the strategies could be you go to Lizardo and his agent early in the offseason and say, we need you to commit to a long-term deal right now. Which he probably won't do, but like you could present it to him and say, we need you to commit to a long-term deal, and if you don't, then we're probably going to trade you, and then we're going to sign Ranger. I mean, that is theoretically possible, but also not exactly something anyone's particularly in the mood to do because we love Lizardo also. That guy was awesome.
He was a stud.
Rhea, should Lizardo have been kept in the game? What was your instinct when they pulled him out? Keep him in, take him out. What'd you think?
My instinct was absolutely because of his mindset. He has something about him that there's a resolve in there, and Kirkering did not. I knew it was a disaster when he came in just because I haven't had the faith in him. Yeah. I mean, he had 11 inherited runners since August, and like 8 of them scored.
Yeah, and no, that's been bad. I was getting concerned that Lizardo could lose it fast.
He also, I mean, he pitched, what, 3 days ago or something like
that?
That's
my point.
It is a start. I'm with you, Joe. I was fine with the decision to pull Lizardo. I would have been fine either way, keep him in, pull him, depending on how you felt about him in that moment. My issue is going to Kirkland.
Yeah, that's
again,
it.
Like,
yeah.
I understand that Rob Thomson must have lost faith in Robertson. Robertson's a 40-year-old dude who's been through battles, man. Battles. And the big thing that Ryan Kirkland has stunk with all year is coming into situations with inherited runners. Like, it was like, what? Like, know your personnel, not to mention the fact that Kirkland pitched the night before and has pitched like four times in this series. Robertson hadn't pitched in 4 days. Like, Like, it didn't make sense to me at all to go to Ryan Kirkering.
If the choice is Lizardo or Kirkering, I'm staying with Lizardo.
Yeah, the Kimbrel thing may have been in Rob Thomson's mind. You know, an experienced, outstanding, longtime reliever who just hits a wall. That's how I felt that he felt about Robertson. John, did you think Duran should have gotten a third inning? Because I did in the moment. Now, it worked out okay for two or three innings.
Real quick, the other option is you could have brought Banks in, even though it's not, you know, lefty-lefty thing.
I got you.
I was all for as much Duran as possible, although it felt like he was missing high last night more than I'd ever seen before, which gave me pause. But, of course, I'm all for as much Duran as possible.
Yeah, my instinct was to keep him in, but I also knew that would be risky. But here's what you knew. If you take Duran out and don't give him that third inning, as the Dodgers closer got a third inning, then you shorten your bullpen. And then it's at a certain point, you're going to get to the guys you don't want to get to, which would be like the Taiwans and, you know, that whole crew. And the Kirkerings, to an extent. You know, Kirkering's not Taiwan, but, like, did I want to see him in
like
the game?
I feel like Kirkering has been shoved down my throat for the longest time.
Well, again, guys, let me say
it. Feels like Topper really trusts him, you know?
Well, how about this, guys? Alvarado?
Killed him.
Killed him.
Big time.
Killed him. Alvarado.
That guy.
Killed him. All right, from Borgata on this horrible Friday morning. Joe DeCameron, John Rich, along with Seltzer and Rhea. No Devin today. She was obviously up there in, up in the Meadowlands last night. I still call it the Meadowlands, whatever the hell it is. As part of the Eagles broadcast, along with Merrill and Mike. So she'll be back with us next week. This one really hurts, man. It sits very heavy on the heart. And it's a little too early for me to assess exactly where it's at. through the years. I just know that it's not Joe Carter and Rondae Barber, but James, is it third? Is it fourth? Like, is it Donovan throwing up in the Super Bowl? Well, he didn't throw up, but he dry heaved. Like, where is this? Because it's early, James, but where is this one going to go down?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's above Donovan. It's a Super Bowl. It's hard to judge the championship thing versus, like, Joe Carter. Nothing will ever top Joe Carter because it
nothing
ended
will
a World
ever
Series.
Yeah, yeah.
But to the point Rhea made before, and I said this on my pod last night, too, it's worse in the fact that, at least in the World Series, Joe Carter hit a home run to beat you. Like, right. This is an all-time guy just losing it in a moment, and it feels so much worse and such a crappier way for a season to end in a certain type of way. Joe, I'm with you. I think it's absolutely top five, maybe top three. I was going to ask you, I have like two historical questions I'm dying to ask you. One, okay, being off of that, do you ever remember in Philly sports history an individual athlete having a worse, like, choke, you know, lose your mental blunder, whatever moment?
Well, so not mental blunder, but the Ben Simmons, I'm afraid,
so
to dunk
the ball.
So
that was the only thing I came up with, yeah, on the pod last night, and I was like, it's not as bad. Like, it's just not. I mean,
let me think about this for a second, if there's any other. So the one thing that makes the Ben Simmons thing maybe worse is that it was fearful. Now, the Ben Simmons thing wasn't the last play of the game. There wasn't
that
two
was why.
Seconds left. So I tend to think this is worse, but I'll say this. I at least have respect for Orion Kirkreen not having, I mean, he panicked. There's a difference between panic and I'm afraid to dunk the ball in basketball because I might get fouled and have to shoot two free throws. That's a different level of shame, in my opinion. But this is certainly more impactful because it was the very, very, very,
it's like
very
predetermined
end.
Fear by Ben, because we always knew he just, yeah, wasn't going to do it.
Right.
But Kirkreen, like, I got to imagine he's made that play
thousands, literally, like, in his life, you know.
Yeah, when they—I mean, that's something they practice,
yeah,
you know. And look, the pitcher to first thing is sometimes one of the harder plays in baseball. The other team had one last night. Pitcher trying to find the bag, and it can get a little tricky. This wasn't that. This was just, okay, you initially fumbled the ball. Okay, take a breath.
Still had time.
Reach down, pick it up, throw to first. Bing, bam, boom. So so James, to broaden out on your question, is there anything else that I can think of? No.
Yeah, I couldn't either. And Simmons was the only one I came up with last night. My second question, and obviously it's hard to the point about championships, losing a championship, there's nothing worse. But in terms of a 7-day, 1-week span, really 6 days, has there ever been a worse 6 days in terms of losses? You lose three horrendous, you know, painful losses, two of them, yeah, in the worst way possible, the Phillies, and the Eagles lose two games, one a horrible, yeah, comeback, and then a loss to a bad team.
Probably an 80, James, because that's when the Sixers and Flyers both lost in the championship.
Yeah, that's
round,
a good call. That's
in,
a
like,
good
the
call.
Same like 7 to 10
It has
day
to be
stretch
up there, right? Like, this is
of
one of the worst 7-day, yeah, stretches we've ever had, man.
It's way up there. All right, what Rob Thompson said after the game, we're going to get to his press conference coming up in a moment. John, how do you feel? How are you processing this right now?
I'm angry in general. Like, I think I'm angry at everything because there's so much to be ticked off about. You know, like, just all the minutia. It's like everything adds up to frustration, and that's just and there's, like, no outlet for that. You know, normally you know, one team loses and, you know, then they rebound the next day or, you know.
Oh, this is it. This is done.
There's a chance for rebound. There's, yeah, a chance for redemption. There's none of that. You know, and then, you know, maybe you get saved by the Eagles, you know, dominating in some fashion.
Or Joel might play.
yeah, nothing like that.
All right,
there's
nothing
that salvages the situation in any way.
To the phones we go. Rob Thompson's press conference from late last night. We'll get to that coming up. Sure, I guess it wasn't even that late, but the reality is everyone switched to the Eagles game where I'm sure for a lot of kids went to bed in tears. I can't imagine how many 10-year-olds went to bed last night in tears. I didn't cry, but I thought I could. You know, like, it got to the point where I was like, I could cry. I didn't. But, my God, I got to imagine 10, 30, 50,000 7 to 15-year-olds just cried themselves to sleep.
Closest since Joe Carter for me, Joe. I said that last night. I didn't cry, yeah, either, but, like, I felt it coming up in the, yeah, moment, just how sad I was for everything.
Yep. Dennis in Mount Laurel. Dennis, good morning.
Hammer, I know how you're feeling, so I'm not going to keep on doing the line. I have a couple words, and they are the offense sucked for the last, you know, actually 3 seasons.
Hey, Dennis, a little hard to hear you. You want a speakerphone?
No. Is that any better?
A little bit. Yep, a little bit. Right. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So Bryce puts up, what, a 210 batting average, no home runs, no RBIs, and Schwarber, and he had one good game. The offense is the same thing it's been the last 3 years. You look at the numbers for the last 3 years, and the it's terrible. In clutch time, they're not playing fundamental, good, sound baseball. Now, Kirkring made a big error, but he should have never been put in that position.
Well, meaning it should have been a different pitcher?
Well, no, it should have been. We should have had a lot more runs.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, they right. Look, there's one thing I'm going to say in defense of the Phillies hitters. They were facing an incredible pitching staff. I mean, we can't act like the Dodgers were exactly knocking the ball all over the ballpark either. I mean, matter of fact, I would think the Phillies probably outscored them in the series.
They did. They won the run differential.
I mean, Dennis, I was texting my family during the game because everybody's freaking out, and I was making the point, this is not uncommon in postseason baseball. I mean, you see 3-2, 2-1 games frequently because it's the best pitchers that make the playoffs, and then they pitch. You don't get your fifth starter. You pitch your top guy. So, I give the Phillies bats a bit of leeway there, but only a bit, because the reality is we all needed them to do more. Looking back on it, they didn't have to do that much more. They just needed to do a little bit more, and the Phillies would have won the series, and those guys didn't get it done, Dennis.
I agree with you. All right, Hammer. Good talking to you.
All right, pal. Appreciate it. Thanks, Let's listen, Dennis, to Rob Thompson. We wonder if we're done talking to Rob Thompson. This one is – Rhea, do you agree with this statement? One of the more interesting Willie Stargo ever?
Oh, yeah, no, because – I don't know if there's a – like, last night I don't particularly blame him. I didn't like Orion coming out, and he cost them, with the bunt. But the way he managed game three was – I don't – this is a tough one, and it all comes down to what kind of mood John Middleton is in.
Yep.
And the way that game ended and the devastation. Like, I'm not angry at Orion. I'm so devastated at what happened. Like, yeah. I've never – I'm stunned by it. And – I'm just curious how Middleton is feeling, whether
Absolutely.
He's angry or devastated. That will factor into it.
Yeah, I don't think this is a decision that the Phillies will make. I don't think they will announce that he's back or out in the next 3 days. I think this is going to be everybody go to your separate corners, cool your heads. And my guess is this thing's going to take a week or two. If you remember, Doug got fired a week after the season, a whole week after.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
After the season, and that was related, many of us believe, to the coaching staff and what kind of control he was going to have. And not
how's Nick's coaching staff doing right now?
Yeah, not good, Rhea, not good. So I'll be fascinated to see where this Rob Thompson thing goes. But let's listen to what Topper said after the game last night. Covered a ton of ground about the game. Let's listen.
Rob, obviously a heartbreaking way to lose. Looked like you had a long conversation with Orion coming off the field. Do you want to share a little what you told him?
Just keep his head up. He just got caught up in the moment a little bit. Coming down the stretch there, he pitched so well for us. And it's, I feel for him because he's putting it all on his shoulders. But we win as a team and we lose as a team. So.
Rob, can you just take us through the decision to take Lizardo out at that point and put Kirkring in the game at that point?
Just with the two righties, and Zeus had 30 pitches on him with 3 days rest. I didn't want to push him too much further. Really, going into the game, thought about just one inning for him, really, because it's kind of his side day. But he was so efficient in the first, we decided to send him back out in second.
Obviously, the devastation of it all is pretty fresh, but can you speak to the way this team fought until the end?
Yeah, I told him after the game, I said, you know, I appreciate what they've done all year. They prepared, competed, picked each other up, true professionals the entire year. And I'm extremely proud of how they went about their business, and I'm proud that I'm their manager, to tell you the truth. That goes for the coaching staff. It goes for all the support staff. Just a really elite group of people.
What do you think of everybody coming to Orion after that play and supporting him?
That's what that tells you about what they're made of, you know. Like I said, they win as a team, they lose as a team, they support each other. You know, as bad as you feel, it's good to see them be there for each other.
How impressive was Sasaki for the Dodgers, and were you surprised at all that he went out there for a third inning?
No, not really. I mean, he's been starting. He's been lengthened out. When you get into these games, you know, you got to do some things that are a little unconventional. And, yeah, he was really good. Really good.
Can you just talk about, a little bit about the pitching in the series, how impressive it was from both teams?
Yeah. I mean, all the starters were tremendous. You know, we got some great relief, especially today. Lizardo stepping up, coming out of the pen. Strom was really good today. Their bullpen was good. Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Four games.
Rob, obviously now 4 years in a row, World Series hopes, and the way this one ended. I mean, how does this one feel compared to the others? Is it harder to take with the way it ended?
I can't really compare because they all feel just awful. I mean, when this happens, it's like your entire world comes to a stop, and it's just a thud. And it's just not a good feeling. It really isn't. Especially, you know, regular season, we were really good. We had a lot of wins, and we expected a lot more.
And you guys, typically a guy like Zach Wheeler has taken on a lot of innings in this series. I know you just talked about the pitching, but the starters, every plan you did pitching-wise seemed to work. I mean, does that make this even tougher to swallow?
It is tough, you know. But I take my hat off to our starters for, you know, picking it up. And you know, when Zach went down, they just did a heck of a job. They just kept getting better and better as the season went on. And they pitched great in the playoffs.
Rob, take us back to I think it was the seventh inning, the decision to, obviously Ohtani's great, intentionally walk him, then load the bases, and then Duran walks the guy. Any concern about, I know sometimes you don't like to intentionally walk the bases loaded because it doesn't leave the pitcher a margin for error there.
Yeah, and that's Duran's first career bases loaded walk. So, I mean, you're not expecting that. And just his ability to throw strikes, really wasn't expecting that, but you know what happened.
And you made several decisions this series with the logical baseball reasoning behind it, but it just seemed not to work out a lot of the time. Did you feel kind of snake bit at all, or is that just part of managing and stuff?
I mean, it's just part of managing, and when something doesn't work, you're up for criticism, and I understand that. It's just part of the job. So,
Rob, you talked about how great the pitching was in this series, but when you look at your lineup, I mean, other than what you got a couple innings last night, they really struggled against the Dodgers. Is there anything that you can kind of identify as to maybe what didn't click for them against this team?
Dodgers have really good pitching, you know. So, I mean, their lineup's good too, and they didn't score a whole lot of runs either. So it really comes down to the pitching. They pitched great. We pitched great. It was a well-fought series. They came out on top, unfortunately, and, you know, that's the way it is. And you feel awful.
This team has a lot of free agents. Obviously, there's a lot of work for the front office to do. But from your perspective, like, where does this team go from here? And do you think there's great years ahead?
Oh, I do. you know, with and I don't know what Dave and John and Preston are going to do in the offseason. We haven't really talked about anything like that, but you know, our farm system is being built up. I know that they're going to, you know, they're, I mean, John's going to spend money. He wants to win. He wants a world champion. So there's good years ahead, no doubt.
Do you expect to manage next year?
Do I? That's, again, it's out of my control. I'm not even thinking about it. I got 60 people in there that are brokenhearted right now. So I'm thinking about that more so than my job right now.
All right, that's Rob Thompson last night. Well, that last question leads us to one of our two Twitter poll questions of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you want Rob Thompson back as the Phillies manager next season? There's really only two opinions, and probably really only one that really matters. Middleton really matters, really the most. I'm sure Dombrowski is going to make a recommendation to Middleton, but at the end of the day, I think it's Middleton's call. But what's your opinion? Do you want Topper back next season or not? Yes or no? Second poll question. With the way the Phillies season ended, I am curious, which emotion do you feel more this morning? Anger or sadness? To the phones we go. Gary in Whitehall. Gary, good morning.
Joe, they ripped my heart out.
Yeah.
Ripped my freaking heart out. I got two things. One, the decision to carry 12 pitchers in a five-game playoff series killed them. They had no bats. They had no outfield help. The injury to Bader really hurt them.
Gary, let me just say this. To be fair, there was nothing about last night's game that told me they were short on their regular bench. Meaning, like, it's not like they were going to insert Johan Rojas as a pinch hitter or whoever that other guy would be. I mean, I do think it impacted the game earlier in the series.
Game two.
I'm with you there.
Game
the
two for game. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Gary, there, I mean, the reality is their bench was, I mean, let's put it this way. Three or four of their starters were weak. Their bench was really weak. I mean, they were playing Castellanos because they didn't trust anybody else. So, it's not like they had Babe Ruth ready to come off the bench as the 27th guy if they added him to the lineup. But anyway, go ahead.
There, you said it, though. Castellanos, what did he do?
Well, he got one hit. He actually got two of the bigger hits in the series.
Yeah.
We got
some hits for us.
Gave him the lead, right?
He's the one who drove in our run.
And that pressure they just had with Topper, they brought it up, and that's what I wanted to bring up. In the seventh inning with Duran out there, you brought Duran in here for a certain reason. He was your closer. But now you're in the playoffs, you're in the seventh inning in a 1-0 game, you bring him in his second and third.
I loved it, Gary. It was a smart move.
What, did he intentionally walk with Ani? No.
Oh, that's different. If you're saying look, I actually thought it was the right decision to walk him. So two different things, Gary. Is it the right decision to bring him in? I think it was. Is it the right decision to walk Ohtani? I mean, that's about 50-50. I, in the moment, wanted him walked, and I'll stand by that. But, you know, you can make a case either way, clearly. Gary, appreciate the call. John, what'd you think? The intentional walk of Ohtani, yes or no?
I am certainly not a baseball strategist. I don't like giving anything away, but I felt like it was minimizing the risk. I felt like it was the smart move there. I wasn't opposed. Let's put it that
way. Fair enough.
Yeah. I wasn't up in arms at the time, oh no, what are we doing?
Yep.
It seemed like it was logical.
James, in the moment, yes or no?
I was fine with it in the moment. You know, righty lefty thing, take on the righty. And again, Topper said it. That was the first bases loaded walk of Duran's career. He had walked one guy in 20 innings with the Phillies this year. Like, I think you got to trust your guy not to walk him in that spot.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.